I was looking at my phone this morning, specifically the notifications folder, and I realized something a little bit terrifying.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
I have more unread messages from my kids' school than I do from my actual boss.
Hey, that sounds about right for the modern parent. The sheer volume is just staggering.
It really is. And it got me thinking about a phrase in the research stack for today's deep dive, content saturation.
Right.
Usually we talk about that with, Netflix or YouTube, too much to watch. But we never really apply that lens to something like education.
Which is a huge mistake, because schools are operationally some of the biggest content factories on the planet. I mean, think about it. Every single day, a school is producing just gigabytes of data.
Grades, attendance, newsletters, emergency notices.
Exactly. Sports schedules, curriculum updates, it's a flood.
And that brings us right to the mission of today's deep dive. We're looking at this collision between two really different types of tech that are designed to handle that flood. So on one side, we have the, let's call it the operating system, specifically a company called Fadena.
Right. And for anyone who isn't deep in the edtech weeds, Fadena is this massive ERP system, enterprise resource planning.
So it's the back end for everything.
It's the skeleton of the school, yeah. Used by something like 40,000 schools in over 200 countries, it holds the data, manages the fees, tracks the students, all of it.
And then on the other side, we have the engine. That's a tool called Auto Content API. Now, this thing is marketed as a content transformation engine, but really what it claims to do is solve that saturation problem by programmatically turning text into, well, multimedia.
It's the difference between just storing data and actually broadcasting it. So the question we're exploring today isn't just, what software should a school buy?
No, it's bigger.
It's what happens to the school as an institution when you go from static PDFs to automated AI-driven broadcasting.
We've got API docs, manuals, case studies, the whole stack. But let's start with the most obvious pain point, the one that gave me my morning panic, the newsletter.
The newsletter, the classic example of the distribution versus consumption gap.
What do you mean by that?
Well, schools think that because they hit send on an email through Fadena, that they've communicated. But they haven't. Not really.
Because I didn't read it. I saw the subject line, I saw the 3-page PDF attachment, and I just thought, I'll read that later.
And we all know what later means.
He never read it later.
And that is where this concept of mental availability from the auto content source material comes in. The problem isn't that you don't care about your kids' education.
Of course not.
The problem is the format. A text-heavy PDF requires 100% of your visual attention. You have to stop cooking, stop driving, stop working to consume it.
Okay, so walk me through the Fadena Plus auto content solution here. Fadena already has a parents collaboration module. It sends the alerts. What actually changes?
The whole delivery mechanism changes. So in this new workflow, the principal uploads that same weekly update text into Fadena.
Okay.
But instead of just pushing that text to your app and, hoping for the best, Fadena triggers the Auto Content API.
So the API kind of intercepts the text before it goes out.
It catches it, it analyzes the structure, and it uses a feature called Audio Overviews. Now, this isn't just a robot reading text out loud.
Because nobody listens to that either.
Right. That's just boring text-to-speech. This generates a multi-speaker dynamic conversation.
Wait. Are you telling me it creates a fake podcast about the school lunch menu?
Essentially, yeah. It creates a little bit of banter, a back-and-forth summary of the key points, the science fair dates, the change of the drop-off policy, all of it. It turns a read task into a listen task.
Which means I can listen to it while I'm driving to work or doing the dishes. That's the mental availability shift.
Yeah.
I don't have to look at it to know what's happening.
It fits into the empty spaces of your day. But there's another feature here that I think is even more disruptive. The API docs highlight voice cloning.
I saw this in the notes. This is that CEO paradox, isn't it? Everyone wants to hear from the leader, but the leader has zero time to actually record anything.
It's a huge bottleneck. Parents want to feel connected to the principal. They want to hear the tone, the authority. But a principal cannot spend 4 hours a week in a recording booth dubbing newsletters.
So how does the cloning part work? Is it complicated?
Technically, no. The principal just records a short sample, once, maybe 30 seconds of them reading from a book. From that point on, any audio update from the API can be delivered in the principal's own voice or a near-perfect clone of it.
That is incredibly effective, but I have to ask, isn't that a little uncanny, a little weird?
It can be if you try to hide it. The guidance usually suggests just labeling it AI narrated by Principal Smith or something. But think about the impact. A text message saying, "School is closed due to snow," is just information. But a 10-second audio clip in the principal's voice saying, "Hey everyone, roads are slick, we're staying home today, stay safe," that's a connection. It maintains that high-touch feel with very low-touch effort.
It leverages the authority of the voice without the time cost. And I'm guessing this isn't just for parents, right? Fidena is a huge system. It has HR modules, finance.
Well, think about onboarding, a massive friction point. You hire a new teacher. Fidena has the human resources module where you store the staff handbook, the safety protocols.
Which, let's be honest, is usually a 3-ring binder that just gathers dust on a shelf.
Or a folder somewhere on a shared drive. With this API integration, you could turn that whole handbook into a private podcast feed. The new hire could listen to an episode on safety protocols on their commute to their first day.
You're creating an internal culture channel.
You're removing the friction of, "I didn't have time to read the memo."
Yeah.
Because now the memo is a show. It turns the school admin from a silent filing cabinet into an active broadcaster.
Okay, so that's the admin side. Super powerful. But Fidena is also a learning management system. It has modules for online classes, e-learning.
And this is where we move from the front office to the classroom. And to be honest, this is where that content saturation probably hits the hardest.
How so?
Because usually e-learning in these big ERP systems just means a folder where teachers upload PDFs. It's just a digital dumping ground. The real bottleneck is the teacher's time.
Right.
To make e-learning interactive, to make quizzes, flashcards, timelines, that takes hours of manual labor for every single lesson.
I've tried writing good quiz questions.
Yeah.
It is deceptively hard to come up with 3 wrong answers that actually sound plausible.
Exactly. But the Auto Content API has specific endpoints for education purposes. This is where the tech gets really interesting. You can ingest a raw source, say a chapter on the Roman Empire from a textbook PDF, and then output structured JSON data for a quiz.
Okay, pause there. Structured JSON data, let's break that down for anyone listening who isn't a coder. Why does that specific phrase matter so much?
It matters because the API isn't just giving you a text file of questions. That would still need work. It's giving you code that Fidena can read and understand instantly.
So it's not just the question.
No, it's the question, the 4 multiple choice options, the correct answer key, and even an explanation for why it's the right answer, all tagged and organized perfectly.
So the teacher uploads the reading material to Fidena, the API does its thing in the background, and suddenly the quiz module is just populated with a 20-question test.
Automatically, and not just a quiz. It could also generate a chronological timeline of events from the chapter or the full set of flashcards. It automates the drudgery of instructional design.
I have to play devil's advocate for a second, though. If an AI is generating the quiz from the text, are we risking quality? Can a machine really understand the nuance of a history lesson well enough to test a student on it?
That is the crucial question. And the source material argues for a shift in the teacher's role here. The teacher stops being the drafter of materials and becomes the curator.
You curator.
You don't just blindly publish what the API spits out. You review it.
Mm-hmm.
You might tweak question number 4 or delete number 7 because it's a bit too obscure. But editing a quiz takes 5 minutes.
Whereas writing one from scratch takes an hour.
At least. So it's about leverage. You're giving that teacher 55 minutes back. And what do they do at that time?
They actually interact with students. They mentor. They do the human stuff the software can't.
Exactly. And there's a huge accessibility angle here, too.
I saw that in the notes.
Huge. The API can take that same text chapter and generate an audio lecture. So if you have a student with dyslexia or a visual impairment, the e-learning module in Fidena is no longer a barrier for them. It's accessible by default.
It's kind of fulfilling the original promise of what EdTech was supposed to be. Not just digitizing paper, but actually changing the format of the information to help people learn.
Format shifting. That is the key term.
Yeah.
You take the data in whatever form you have, usually text, and you shift it to whatever form the user needs. Audio, quiz, video.
Speaking of video, let's talk about growth. Because private schools, especially the ones using a robust system like Fidena, are businesses. They need to attract students.
They absolutely are. And Fidena has a student admission module to track all the applications. But that module only works if you have applicants to track. You need to fill the top of the funnel.
And marketing is expensive. I mean, I know schools that spend a fortune on videographers just to get one decent welcome to campus video.
Right. And the Auto Content source breaks down those costs. If you hire a pro, you're looking at $50 to $300 per video minimum. And that's on the really low end.
And the algorithm today is just hungry. You need to be posting constantly to stay relevant on Instagram or TikTok.
The math just doesn't work for most schools. They can't afford a media agency on retainer. But the API changes the unit economics. It lists the cost of a generated video at roughly 400 credits.
And what's that in real money?
It equates to about 4 euros.
4 euros. Okay, but be real with me. Are these videos any good?
Yeah.
Or do they look like those cheap slideshows with the super robotic voiceover?
Hey, that's the question. They are what we would call programmatic vertical video. Think of those faceless channels you see all over TikTok and Reels.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean. Stock footage, text overlays, an AI voice.
And dynamic captions. They aren't cinematic masterpieces, no. But they are highly effective at capturing attention for a specific topic.
So a school could take its brochure content, Why Study Physics, our sports facilities, and just generate hundreds of short videos.
Hundreds of them. They could flood local hashtags with content. The concept here is creative testing at scale. You put out 50 variations, you see which one gets clicks, and you double down on that message. But there's an even more sophisticated use case mentioned, the explainer video for SEO.
Search engine optimization. How does a short video help with that?
Well, the source data mentions a metric called dwell time. Google tracks how long people stay on your website. If a parent lands on your Fadina admission page and leaves in 10 seconds, Google's algorithm thinks the page is bad.
And usually those pages are just walls of text about fee structures and uniform policies. It's boring. I'd leave in 10 seconds too.
Of course. But what if you embed a 60-second video that clearly explains the fee structure? People will watch it. Your dwell time goes way up. The source we have claims pages with video are 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
So the AI video isn't just a vanity project for social media. It's actually driving the core mechanics that get the school notice in the first place.
It creates a funnel. The video hooks them. The dwell time helps the page rank. And the clear communication reduces the number of confused parents calling the front desk.
Which brings us all the way back to efficiency for the admin staff using Fadina. Fewer phone calls asking how much is the deposit means more time to actually manage the school.
Now, I want to zoom out for a second. We mentioned Fadina is used in 200 countries. That's a lot of languages and a lot of potential for confusion.
Oh, absolutely. Think about an international school or a school in a multilingual region like Dubai or Singapore. You might send a notice in English, but maybe 40% of your parents speak Arabic or Hindi or Mandarin at home.
And usually you either need a dedicated translation team, which is expensive, or you just kind of hope they use Google Translate and don't misunderstand something critical.
And auto content claims to handle this.
It does. The API supports over 50 languages for both audio and text generation. This enables what they call automated global expansion of your content.
So walk me through that workflow. How does that happen?
The school admin types the message once in English into their Fadina portal.
Mm-hmm.
The API doesn't just translate the text. It generates native language audio files in all the target languages you've selected.
So the parent opens their Fadina app. They see the message in text, but they can also just hit play and hear it in Hindi.
Instantly. It's not just translation, it's localization. It ensures that critical information, health emergencies, school closures, exam schedules, is actually understood by 100% of the community. It leverages the data that Fadina already holds, but it unlocks it for everyone.
It really leans into the fact that Fadina is the single source of truth. You're just piping that truth through a synthesis engine to make it accessible.
It's the difference between storing data and activating it.
Okay, so we've covered the what and the why, but I know we have listeners asking how. Because integrating APIs can be a total nightmare. Is this something an IT person at a high school can actually pull off?
That's a fair concern. The good news is that both of these systems are what you'd call API first. You don't need to write a million lines of custom code. You can use what's called middleware, like Make.com or Zapier.
Walk us through that headless setup. What does the plumbing actually look like?
Sure. Imagine a simple four-step logic flow in, say, Make.com. Step one is the trigger. A specific event happens in Fadina. A new entry is published in the news database.
Okay, so the principal publishes a new post.
Exactly. Step two is the handoff. Make.com grabs that text in the URL, and it sends a request to the auto content API. This is where you set your parameters, make me a summary podcast or make me a quiz.
And this is all just happening in the cloud, in the background?
Completely invisible to the user. Step three is the generation. Auto content does its processing. And then step four is the callback. This is crucial. The API uses a webhook to push the finished audio file or video link back into Fadina, updating the original record.
So the principal hits publish, walks away to get a coffee, and by the time they're back at their desk, the podcast version is already attached to the post.
That's the dream. And the source emphasizes reliability features, like error codes. If a link is broken or something goes wrong, the system doesn't just crash. It retries or it logs an error for the admin. It's enterprise grade, not a hobby project.
And that distinction is vital for a school. You can't have your emergency alert system failing because of a bad API handshake.
Precisely. And because of the credit model that AutoContent uses, the school can scale its usage up or down. If it's admission season, they can buy more credits for marketing videos. If it's the summer break, they can scale down. It's incredibly flexible.
It really feels like we're describing a fundamental shift here. We're taking the skeleton of Fadena, the rigid, necessary structure of data and grades and people, and covering it with the flesh of AutoContent, the engaging, human-friendly media.
That is the best way to frame it. Because without the flesh, the skeleton is just dry administration. It's kind of scary. It's boring.
But without the skeleton, the flesh has no structure. It's just noise.
Together, they solve the problem of scale. They allow a school to communicate like a media company without having to hire an entire media team.
But before we wrap up, I do want to push on one final, slightly provocative thought that was in the notes. This idea of the agentic web.
Ah, yes. This is the future-gazing part of the dive.
We've spent this whole time talking about AI creating content for humans to consume. But where does this all go next?
Well, if we start to structure all this school data perfectly, if we have APIs talking to APIs in this clean, programmatic way, we might get to a point where parents aren't reading the newsletter or listening to the podcast.
What are they doing then?
Their own personal AI agent is accessing the school's API. It ingests the new grades, the updated schedule, the newsletter content, and it simply updates the family calendar automatically.
Yeah.
And gives the parent a 10-second briefing. Your son is failing math, and the school play is on Tuesday.
So the school's AI just talks to the parent's AI, and the humans just need to show up for the bake sale.
It sounds a little dystopian to some, but it is the ultimate form of efficiency. By structuring their content now with tools like AutoContent and Fadena, schools are basically preparing for a world where the primary consumer of their data might not be biological.
Wow, that is a mind-bending place to leave it. We started with PDFs and ended with AI-to-AI communication, but I guess that's the nature of a deep dive.
It certainly is.
If you work in education or really just manage a lot of data, it's worth thinking about. Are you just storing information or are you actually activating it?
That's it for us today. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.